Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
is you living?
We all under attack,
is you different?
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gangs got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like how my pills said they took the wrong. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it. Really trying to be about it, never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma.
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed.
May he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me. Knowing prison dangers. Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time. Serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Bismillah. Bismillah in the name of Allah. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah. In translation, what I said to everyone is in the name of Allah, the All, we give all praise. We give all praise and thanks which belongs to Him. And may His praise and salutations be upon His Messenger Muhammad. And to proceed. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another night of the Great Point of Impact podcast. Alhamdulillah, hosted by yours truly, Derek Malai, Minhaj Malai Hansford, and also Krista Ellison, and our brother Hassan Shabazz. Alhamdulillah, we thank you all for tuning in tonight. And of course, our producer, Jay Sean. We thank you all for tuning in tonight. We're looking forward to having a fabulous night to speak to hopefully two wonderful people. We have a young lady who I like to prefer to, I met her as Dr. Zoe. She will be speaking with us, inshallah, because of Allah. Then we have our brother Infinite. He's going to come through to just kind of stream down with us and share with us the experience of yesterday's event, which was beautiful. You know, Krista and Hassan spoke with really lovely. You know, my two team members were shooting their fire out there. You know, so
indeed.
you know, you're there, Krista. I hear both of y'all. Krista, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, that's fine. I'm good, love.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I'm right here, brother. You know, another beautiful night. Can't wait. I'm chomping at the bit right now. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Jason, do we have our guest with us? This is Zoe.
Oh, so you know, Zoe? You know the number? The last four?
Mm-hmm. Hold on, y'all. It's my voice.
It's going to be special. Yeah.
This is how we do it, though. We do it. We do it.
Yeah. That's right.
It's fine.
We didn't get it
all. The last four is 9528.
Okay. Yeah, brother, this is going to be special.
No, I don't. It's, I don't see it yet.
Okay, we don't see 9528.
No, if they if your guest is on, they could just press one.
Yeah. Zoe, Dr. Zoe, if you're on, sister, just press one so we can pull you in.
And while Steve's
yeah.
on the show, how did you enjoy yesterday's event, Brother Malau?
Oh yeah. I really enjoyed myself, and the great thing that was significant to me, it was kind of an experience of me seeing a lot of men that I hadn't seen in a long time.
Mm.
I haven't seen in a long time. So it was a bit difficult for me. And as far as my travel, so when I got an opportunity to see a lot of those brothers, I was kind of given a renewed spirit.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like,
I'm always excited to see y'all excited about seeing each other. Just seeing men love on men and the way, you know, of greeting and you know, that's a blessing to see.
Pardon me, sir.
Yeah.
One sec. Hey, she just checked me at 6739.
Yeah, it most definitely was a blessing to see. You know.
My takeaway from it was, you know, the Returning Citizens reunion was a blessing to, you know, just be able to fellowship and to know that good things
mm-hmm.
come, good things, you know,
mm-hmm.
turn around, you know, of
mm-hmm.
one's actions. You know, I always say when you're as a child, you think of the child, but as I become a man, you put away childish things. And to see you all grow from being, you know, adolescents to into the man that you all are today is just a
mm-hmm.
blessing to see, because we need the youth to see that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
our children need something to model after. And a lot of times, you know, to see how y'all have changed and grown into your own and so talented in so many different ways. All of the talent that was out there yesterday, all of the entrepreneurship, owning your own business as a black man, you know, is, you know, it was great to see amongst so many of y'all that you know, was in attendance.
Yeah. It was great. It was beautiful. For me, the wonderful part of the experience was that I heard some tangible solutions being discussed yesterday. The first time that I heard brothers extend their arms, their hands out in that way.
Hold on 1 second, bro. Hold that thought, because we got to get back there. Just 1 second.
Okay.
Sister Zoe, if you can hear us, can you press one, please?
Mm-hmm.
Jay Sean, just if you have, is there any other questions, Jay Sean?
3479, you live.
Well, let's see if that's her, because she doesn't. It's an 804 number.
Hello,
Sister Zoe.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
That's good. Wa alaikum assalam. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties.
There we go.
It happens to all of us. We've been there. introduce you to my other two co-hosts, y'all want to introduce yourself?
Yes, well, ladies first, please.
Oh, yeah. I'm Krista Ellison, you know, freedom over everything.
Nice to meet you, Krista.
How are you?
I am well. Hello. I am well, sis.
And for myself, Dr. Zoe, sister, my sister Zoe, you already know me, but this is Hassan, Shabazz, and you know me. Yeah, you know me from our many sessions at Augusta. Yeah. I told you.
Nice to connect with you, Brother Hassan, especially on this end. Yes, indeed.
Wonderful. I can't wait. This is beautiful. This is gonna be a wonderful experience. Really.
Thank you all for having me. I'm humbled. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. And so are we. Indeed, sir. And such a giant like unto yourself, which many people don't know. But we're gonna talk about some things tonight, man, that may have a few people shedding a couple of tears. But it's been a wonderful, beautiful healing experience for me. Whenever you come into my presence, so I'm so thankful to have you here tonight. Really.
Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you so much. I'm humbled. Thank you. Thank you.
You introduce yourself, Chris?
Yes.
I met you also in the system by Barbwire City and in the Barbwire City, and one of the things that struck me about you is that you brought a light into the space. Like, you just lit everything up, and you had everyone's attention. Do you want to tell the people what it is that you do when you come into the system here?
Yeah, first, before I go, though, I you know, y'all are always talking about I'm a giant. I'm not. Like, I'm so proud of y'all, like, that, you know, even having this conversation and being in this space. And Sister Chris, I was listening to you and Brother Hassan talk about the event yesterday. I don't know what event it was, but just, you know, everything that you were saying resonated, you know, because to be able to see you all here doing this work right now, that's the reason why I come behind the walls. And so for those who don't know, God told me to go behind the walls and, you know, to call the brothers and to, you know, be a messenger to give you all love and light and let you all know, you know, that one, we were loving up on y'all from the outside, and two, we were expecting y'all to do just this when you come home. You know, that's kind of like a divine purpose. So, you know, I humbly, you know, when y'all talk about giant, and, you know, I humbly, you know, say that I'm just trying to be obedient, you know, to a higher calling. And it's a beautiful experience to, you know, be in space with you guys right now. You know, lets me know that the work and my presence in that space, you know, it was for a purpose. So
can you share with us, how long have you been doing this? How long have you been, you know, going into the prisons and speaking with the young men?
So I started, I've been doing stuff with pre-adjudicated youth since I graduated from college, but I started going into the jail and the prison. I started off at Richmond City Jail. I think it was probably like in 2010. And from there, you know, I used to do a class with the brothers in the on the Believe Tier at Richmond City Jail, and then I was working with the sisters as well. And then from there, it progressed into going to the Department of Corrections. And so I've been, I think I've probably been in the Department of Corrections maybe since 2011, 2012, maybe. It may have been later than that. Yeah.
Okay. And is there any question you want to ask, Krista?
You know, just the fact that the growth, you say, talked about the growth that you've seen in the people and everything. How do you see from 2010 to now, what has been a drastic change in the system that you've seen?
Well, I don't think it's a change in the system itself at all, because the system, I was listening to the theme, I was listening to the theme song while I was waiting in the queue, and there was some lines in the theme song. One of the lines that resonated with me the most was "Make him hate his black skin." I, you know, the system is doing what it's designed to do, and I think that's probably why God sent me behind the walls. The growth, I haven't been with any one person, you know, throughout my work. I generally go behind the walls and do speeches or book classes on books or lessons on Black history, keynotes around Black history and Kwanzaa. But the one thing that I know, and the one thing that I wanted to highlight on this side, is the fact that the brothers behind the walls are brilliant and creative and beautiful and conscious brothers. And, you know, I think the system is designed to take away Black men's manhood and their kingdom, and to break their spirit, you know, with hopes that when they come home, they won't do the work that they're doing now. So I think, sis, the biggest thing for me, you know, is to be able to bear witness to the brothers who were in the space with me when they get home, actually giving back so hard and so much to the communities and doing the work to, you know, uplift the brothers and sisters in the communities and to repair the damage, you know, that is being done in our communities. And so, you know, I think that's the thing. That's the, you know, I don't even think that it's necessarily growth, but, you know, it's about being able to have the opportunity to come home and do the work on this side. So I think that's what I see most as.
That's wonderful. And yeah, we got to give it up, my man. Dude's big, y'all. Hey, listen, that's going fire. That theme. I'm glad you did it. That thing is fire.
You know, my relationship with Dr. Zoe is a very, very special one, because the very first time that I met her, coming up to Augusta, she told us a story about how when she got to the parking lot, that she just sat in the car and she just cried. Because of how sadistic it was to have us way out here, away from all the way out here, and away from everyone, and driving down the road that all she would see was Confederate flags and people, and just to have us out there in the middle of nowhere, so far away from people. And, you know, Craigsville is the seat of the Ku Klux Klan. And so we're right there in the heart of it all, and to see a plantation right there, and to have her come in and express that. Dr. Zoe, you know, I would just want you to speak a little bit to that effect, just to take you back to that first time that I met you, and then, you know, many other times after that. But speak a little bit about that to the people for me, please.
Yeah, when you first said it actually, like, almost choked me up. And because I remember that time that, you know, it happens all the time. But I remember that time that I, you know, was vulnerable enough in the space to tell you all, you know, how I feel and how I felt. And I don't know, it was something real deep about that visit. I don't know. It was the harshness of the doors, the slamming and the buzzing. And then I remember when I was leaving, even, and I looked back through the gates and I saw, you know, I could see the brothers on the yard and you moving farther and farther away from the brothers on the yard. And then you get out that last door into the parking lot and you look and you're looking at the barbed wire and you looking and you looking around. It's, you know, coming and going was rough because when I was coming there, you know, I figured I was getting ready to, you know, I was getting ready to, you know, go through a space, but you don't really understand what that looks like until you actually travel the space. And so even the journey there, it's like, you know, it puts in perspective that they really trying to remove you from your people, from your family, from your support network, and surround you with people who don't greet your being kindly and the people who are profiting and making their livelihood off of, you know, Black bodies, right? And when I went into Augusta, it was a, you know, really special space. I'm not going to, you know, go into an in-depth critique about it, but, you know, it was a tense space for me. And then seeing all of you beautiful Black brothers, you know, it's always and hearing your poetry, your creativity, understanding your intellect, your consciousness, and then knowing that I gotta leave, like that's rough. And it's always, you know, when I leave, it's always and I don't mean to keep talking about it, but when I leave from behind the walls, it's always like a decompression that I have to go through. And I have to sit in, because I can't drive. I got to cry it out first before I go away. And then, yeah, and then, you know, it's like just all the more meaningful because now, you know, it's work to do. Like, it makes it like, okay, I got to pull my big girl drawers on and keep this work going because I want y'all to come home and I want y'all to do the work so that the brothers who are out here free don't go there, if that makes sense.
I really want to thank you for expressing a very open experience. A lot of times, you as a person who is coming in voluntarily, imagine this impact upon many of the mothers and the wives and the daughters and sisters, you know, who had to come into, you know, visit their loved ones. You know, see, these effects of and the impact of these effects, really a lot of people don't have the opportunity to even have a discussion about it and how it, you know, mentally and psychologically affects everybody. You know, even the officers don't work there. You know what I'm saying? People just don't understand this thing, this barbed wire city, these concrete modern day slavery plantations, or whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? They are mechanisms that are put in place to actually disturb the balance, the balance of family order, of institutional things. You see what I'm saying? And people just like you, and I thank you for shining light on that experience. I would like to know. Okay, you written book. What kind of what kind of workshops do you bring? You said you're talking about, you know, books, the knowledge of writing books or different books to read. Because that's interesting. That's knowledge.
So anytime I come, I'm always about elevating knowledge of self, and that goes back to the song, the theme song, you know. Carter G. Woodson has a quote, and the quote is, when you control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his actions. He'll go to the back door, and if there is no back door, he'll carve one out for himself. And so, you know, for me, in my studies and my scholarship, you know, I've always focused on the way that society has tried to destroy Black people, African people, African American people, whatever, you know, you want to call us, but melanated people's perception of self, and to create this whole notion of our racial inferiority, which is a fallacy. And so all of my work centers on the history of the Black experience, and that goes back before enslavement, you know, into the ancient pre-colonial African days of Mali and Songhai and Kemet and Kush and Nubia and stuff. And so my research, my work, all of my written work is on the Black experience and state-sponsored violence and mass incarceration. I have done a book, like a book club. I think it was at Buckingham, and they were trying to get it in Augusta, but they weren't really having
it. Right.
No, they were.
I remember.
I'm sorry
to
laugh. They were.
I remember.
Like,
I remember. Yeah.
Do you remember, Hassan? Do you know what
happened?
Well, we're not going to talk about it on podcast, but you know what happened, right?
Do I know? Yeah. And look,
yeah,
everybody
yeah,
else
yeah.
knows too. Everybody else knows.
Yeah. They was trying to get me. Yeah, they was trying to get me. They're really trying to. It was too much. But
It's right. Yeah. It's right.
But
well,
the book is called.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
you're here.
Before
we begin, let me see, Jason, do we have any other callers, Paulie? Because we're expecting Infinite.
Yeah.
That was very...
Well, you know, listen, man. You know, we waiting on Infinite, right? So,
7621.
Right.
Yeah, just we
okay. Well,
peace.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. Look who joins the
Hey, Brother Infinite.
Peace. Adopted soul. All of you,
hey.
You know what I mean? How y'all brothers and sisters doing tonight?
Okay. Monday. Now, if you know, we know this young lady, right, Dr. Zoe?
Absolutely. It was from that experience that y'all were just speaking about that we came up with the Augusta 7. I wrote a piece about that called Augusta 7 from that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
that the sister went
right.
through, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, I remember that
too. But it's good to, like I said, see the sister still doing the work, you know, Virginia State for sure. Virginia and everybody else, you know, HBCU. So, but it's just good to be in this space where we all are continuing the work that is inherent within us as a people anyway. You know what I mean? And to be able to give back like Dr. Zoe was saying. And with Sister Krista and everyone else, all the other sisters, another Thompson as well, you know, y'all sisters have been holding it down from day one.
And I just have to say, just listening to the three of y'all, you know, speaking, I'm on the outside looking in and you know, my struggles was never, you know, your struggles. So I'm just listening to how y'all have triumphed through it all and have overcome and not allow the enemy to win and not give up. So I do applaud y'all in that fashion because it's just listening to what's going on, we can all put two and two together, right? We can pretty much understand what was going on and the struggle that, you know, that y'all had behind the walls. And just trying to give, and just as her trying to give y'all information and give y'all life and speak life into y'all, the blocking of that and the areas that was put up, I can hear it without y'all even saying it. And the laugh is not a laugh of to being mockery, but the laugh is a laugh of triumph, and the laugh is a laugh of, you know, overcoming. So I get it, and I hear
what it is.
Go ahead, brother.
Dr. Zoe, what are you doing? Any projects that you're at the present moment doing that you're you know, doing in the prison?
I'm gonna eat that baby if Sam on me.
No, because since COVID, you know, Augusta, I took a little hit in Augusta, I'm sure. But since COVID, I haven't, you know, been back. I haven't been back behind the walls, and I'm really anxious to, you know, to get back and continue the work. In the meantime, you know, I've been trying to get into the community. Y'all know I'm not from this area, but, you know, I just, you know, God is like, I need to be in the community with my folks, with my family to, you know, do the work on this side. And you know, I was telling Brother Paul, I really want to do something called Hood University, and it's been heavy on my spirit. It's the first time that I've spit it out of my mouth, so y'all are the first to hear it, but you know, I really want to get into the neighborhoods and do consciousness raising workshops with the brothers so that they don't, you know, go behind the walls. And then too, I heard sis, I think Sister Chrissy, you were talking about, you know, some of the things that are happening in the community, and it's just really troubling for me that, you know, Black people don't have no safe place to go. So I am working on trying to do more work in the communities with the soldiers in the community. And then simultaneously, I'm also doing work with law enforcement and trying to get them to elevate their levels of consciousness so we don't have any Mike Browns, you know, any more situations here in my area. So, you know, I'm just trying to be obedient to whatever God calls me to do, for real. So right now it has me on a lot of different projects, you know, just trying to make a difference before I transition, if that makes sense.
Okay. So,
yeah. It does.
So too, before you transition, and I hope that transition ain't going to be no time soon, okay?
I do too. Inshallah.
Brother Yes, sir. Man, you had a remarkable day yesterday. You want to share with go ahead, brother. We lost.
Yeah, I'm here. I was stopping. I wanted the brother to finish his piece.
No. Go ahead.
I think that, like has been said, it wasn't just a wonderful day for me and my family, but it was a wonderful day for us all, for our community. Just returning citizens. I'm talking about the holistic view. And no way am I anthropologist or sociologist. I tilt my head to Dr.
Yes,
Zoe in that case, but
yes, you are.
I do strive to look at us, our circumstances as a people holistically as best I can, you know, to understand that criminal justice reform, the criminogenic ideas and behaviors that we find in our communities is just systemic to, you know, many different forms of oppression, segregation, and all of those things, but we go through them together. Just like what goes on from the community that I came from prior to going to prison, which is Mosby Court, is similar to what goes on, what is it called, Cherry Hills, Dr. Zoe?
Berry Farm.
Berry Farm.
Yes, Berry Farm. Yes, it's all,
you know,
good.
And we can go out to California and all of that. And from what I've read and what I've heard, the men and brothers that I've spoken to in those areas, it's like the same issues that are affecting us poverty-wise, from education to food deserts, on down to all aspects of our conditioning, is similar. So to me, that's systemic. It's not unique. So I say that to say that yesterday, I think, was a culmination of the efforts that, you know, many people from, like I was saying, Lynetta Thompson, Phil Willado, Dr. Zoe, and many others that I'll be all night naming, we all put in this work to get to this point so that we can not only change the narrative, but what does that look like in a physical sense? You know, taking a abstract idealism. You know what I mean? I think that the people that were there, with all due respect to those who may have had previous engagements, I think it was the cream. Right? I think that that the elite of that, and I don't like to use that term in that way, but that the best of us was present and accounted for. And I was proud to be a part of it. And the last thing I would say on that, brother, is that in my culture, I'm a 5%er. In my culture, we say that we speak about useful land, that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and my Safar was speaking about. What is useful land? Now, some of us have an idea that useful land is like it's already aggravated and, you know, built up. But useful land is the tilling of it, you know what I mean, the shaping of it, the forming of it, the effort, the struggle, you know. And so we have a useful land with the Supreme Flea Market, you know, that area there. And I was very proud and inspired by the different brothers like Shah, who spoke to the idea that we use our skill sets that we learned in the prison environment to better that particular piece of useful land so that we all can live abundantly. And, you know, I was just very proud.
Yeah, and so was you, brother. I have to say, I was very, as I was expressing earlier, you know, we go through a lot, and just getting up there and being able to be around you all and be around all the brothers, man, that I ain't seen in a long time, who I spent 2.5 decades of my life with, you know what I'm saying, was definitely renewal of faith and inspiration. Yeah. Kristen, is there anything you'd like to say?
I just wanted to say, you know, shout out to the owners of the flea market, because in their old age, they have passports, you know, and they have allowed us to come into their space and just to build. You know, a lot of times people don't like the passports. They want to hold on to what they understand to be their norm. But to allow us to come in with some fresh ideas and new innovative ways of rebuilding ourselves and reinventing ourselves, I just want to most definitely give a shout-out to them, the owners of the flea market.
Yes.
Yeah, Richard and Hanella Walton.
Yes.
Most definitely.
Can I say something too? And this is just real petty, but I do have to circle back. Dr. Infinite, you are a sociologist and an anthropologist. And when Sister Krista just talked about, like, you know, reinventing ourselves and, you know, we got to get away from the, that's why I don't like when y'all keep calling me Dr. Zoe, y'all can call me sis or whatever. You know, we have to get away from the fallacy that it takes a degree to make you an expert in something. And that's the beautiful thing that I learned going behind the walls is that, and if there was this one time I can't remember which place it was, but I was actually doing a class and I had the brothers behind the wall to do the same assignment that my students were doing at Virginia State. They had to write a paper and then they had to send it to me. I think it might have been Buckingham. And I had like maybe about 7 people send me papers. And I promise you on everything I love, the papers that the brothers wrote from behind the walls was better than my students' papers. And that's on everything. So, you know, I wanted to circle back to say that, yes, you are a sociologist and an anthropologist. And, you know, don't sell yourself short, because your knowledge and your understanding that's guiding and grounding the work that you're doing is phenomenal. So I just wanted to put that out there. And to you as well, to all of y'all, honestly, to all of y'all. So that goes to all of y'all.
But I can most definitely appreciate that, Dr. Zoe, and I mean, Sister Zoe, right? We're gonna like you said, and I know how you hate titles, and we know that, and so what we're gonna do is respect your wishes, and I'm gonna refer to you as Sister Zoe for the rest of the night, okay?
And so
with that being said, Sister, you have left so many jewels behind the walls. Like you said, you are so anxious to get back in there, but you're still in there. Like, one of the most precious pieces that I read, which was Murder, Misogyny, and Mayhem.
Murder, Misogyny, mm-hmm. Mayhem. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Right? You read that book, Brother Infinite?
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Right. Wow.
You talk about hip hop in the culture of abnormality
come
in the urban
on,
community, right?
Come
right.
On.
Right.
So these things right here are our tools. These are our training. These are our training tools. These are the things that we use to overcome the negative stigma and stereotypes that have been placed upon us, so that when we get back out here, we can be the proper example for our family, for our community. And I just wanted to let you know, like, those things are back there. Like, guys can go to the library and rent that. Now, you signed my copy, so I didn't never let anybody get their hands on that. I kept that for myself. But I pointed them to the direction where they could go and get their own. And so, you know, I just wanted to let you know that those things are so appreciative, because 90%, it's not 100% of all the guys that were out there at some point in time saw you behind the wall. I know everybody that I was there with from Augusta remember you.
Right? Or even if they didn't see us,
right.
They heard we were coming in there.
Believe that.
Yo, that's just, man, I'm telling you, y'all getting ready to make me start crying in here. I think that's the reason why. You know, when I say when I transition, and, you know, I don't want to go anytime soon, but just hearing that, that's so powerful, and I'm so humbled by that. I don't even have words.
You know, sister, you know, one of the things that I'm so grateful for right now, like, each one of you individuals, my co-host and our two lovely guests, Sister Zoe and Brother Imp, you know, and my two beloved hosts, Crystal and Hassan. Listen, one of the things that is so I'm so full of gratefulness is for. See, having a nucleus of people around you should be striving to, you know, in your light, you should be striving to reflect the light that they beam to you. A lot of times we surround ourselves with people, and when we were in society, we didn't know this this understanding of being able to, you know, distinguish ourselves from those people who may not yet be who we should be looking up to. You guys, every one of you guys, are extraordinary people. And the thing that we have to understand is that, sister, when you come into the prison, you have ignite these intelligent, these genius brothers who are in the system.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? You give them,
mm-hmm.
you give them.
Mm-hmm.
When Krista takes an email and she responds to an email from a young man that she has no knowledge of, he has no knowledge of, the only thing is that he's reaching out to her because he needs help, and she's responding back because she's providing him with what? She's providing him with that ignite of resilience to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Infinite, you know, he's been in there, and Hassan has been in there, and you brothers are out here doing outstanding work. And it's it's extraordinary people like you guys that turn the tide. You see what I'm saying? That turn the tide, that turn the direction of where the community and the society is going. Right now we have a few minutes, and we have 15 minutes here. Sister, Sister Zoe, I want you to, if you can, for, you know, 3 minutes, can you just tell us, what is it that you, you know, what goal do you have in mind for yourself as providing some relief for those who you come in contact with?
Say that again, bro.
What is that you have as a goal within yourself to achieve, like when you have the opportunity to speak to others, what is the goal that you intend to attain when you are reaching out and allowing yourself to be, you know, accessible to the people in need?
My main goal is to remind, share. I don't know what verb to use, but to remind you all that you all are kings, and that our natural inclination as people is peace, and that we come from kings and warriors and scientists and mathematicians, and the stereotypes that the world created in order to justify our enslavement does not reflect who we are. And to my queens that I also speak to behind the walls, to remind our queens that as queens, we're the most powerful piece on the chessboard. And, you know, systems are set up to weaken the queens so that we don't strengthen our kings. And so anytime I'm behind the walls, my primary purpose or in any situation, even as state, is to just remind us, you know, who we are, or to elevate our consciousness about who we are as a people, because we don't learn it. And it's my philosophy that, you know, if we know who we are, then we will fight for our place in society, and we will fight to protect our families and our communities. And so, you know, that's my life work. That, you know, anywhere I go, that's my life's work. And I'm not afraid of anyone. I'm not afraid of any situation. Since when I was laughing about Augusta, yeah, it was
that's
the
right.
laugh, like, it, you know, it was resilience, but I had to fight my way out of that. You know what I'm saying? And so, when you're doing something that is obedient to your calling, when people come for you. So that's really the goal that I have in the work that I do, period, to share the knowledge that I've been blessed to receive, because my degrees didn't give me the knowledge. God and my ancestors give me the knowledge, and it does not belong to me. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm humble enough to know that in the grand scheme of things, like Kendrick Lamar says, I'm humble enough to know that I know nothing at all. And so everything that I have, I'm supposed to give. That's pretty much in a nutshell.
Well, thank you so much. Brother Infinite, I would like, you know, ask right now, you know, can you give us like three minutes of, like, how would you round up in a few words, just to let us know, like, what is your goal in the efforts of your, you know, striving to impact people's lives?
Well, it first started for me was when I first met Brother Geronimo, who was going by Brother Jerome Richardson X, at Palestine Correctional Center back in 1986. As a youth, I was 16, right? And that meeting that brother and brothers like him, Brother Vincent and all of those brothers were there at that time, but it was really Brother Geronimo. He reminded me of the things that my mother had put into me when I was a young boy, that I discredited or discounted. You know, that's my morals, my values, you know, family and love for family and, you know, wanting to do very well in your community, because my mother was a social worker for 30 years in Richmond. I came up seeing those examples through her, from her struggles and all that. So when I met that brother after my incarceration, you know, he continued to, you know, nourish those seeds that he saw within me. And how I identified myself, began to identify myself as a young black man. And that went on. I went through fits and starts until it, my watershed moment was when my mother passed on Christmas Day in 2006, and I was at Red Onion Correctional Center. And I was seeing how not only was the institution, like the inhumane conditions, but I was also seeing, you know, how brothers, you know, acclimated to that, you know, and was treating each other like that. And that gave me my contrast, like, yo, they feel like I'm an animal and that I need to be in somewhere like this. And I refuted that. And I internalized, you know, those seeds, and I started to germinate them and to grow them until, you know, I met up. By the time I met up with Hassan on Augusta, you know, I had kind of figured out my people speak about self-actualization in a way like it's something that cannot happen, you know what I mean, for the ordinary person. But for me, I feel like I had my moment, and I'm still within that moment. You know, a day under God is like 1,000 years. So of self-actualization to the point when I met Brother Hassan, Brother Lakeem Wise, Brother Askari Donsu, and many others, you know, that we just brought all of that together, and those brothers helped me realize my dream, which was to be where God is, where I was at. I wanted to change my environment and to change my condition. And those brothers added on with me, and I added on with them. And, you know, so that's what, you know, I'm living my best life, bro. I mean, I still got struggles. I have issues that I really do need to address. Mental health is real. No matter how effective you can be in your community, going through those type of processes of incarceration, no different than slavery, I would think. You know, you don't come out unscathed, and I'm no guy. You know, so I'm identifying all of that, and I'm continuing to work. You know, and that's what it is for me.
Yeah, I appreciate it, brother. You know, I appreciate you. Because we have limited time on the show. Krista and Hassan, we're gonna let Krista go first. But Krista, is there anything you would like to say to our wonderful, distinguished guest tonight?
Yes, I just wanted to say I appreciate both of you all, you know, with the knowledge and wisdom that you both hold is so much to give to our youth. It's a legacy that we're trying to leave behind. And you all most definitely have a lot to leave behind, you know, that our children and our children's children could be able to grow and you know, eat from for years to come. And we just have to, you know, rally together and really just have 2023 looking like we've been here and we've been doing
but,
you know,
it's got to be an easy transition into what it is that we really strive to do. I think that our days of struggle is behind us. Now we're just putting into action all the tools that we have, you know, gathered. I enjoy always coming together, seeing brothers together, rallying, and reunion yesterday was remarkable. The food was good and
great.
You know, the fellowship, the music from the artist, the couple that was on there, I didn't know the young lady and the first gentleman who performed was out of, you know, I loved it. I love to see the duo performance. And then, you know, Deuce, he did his thing. So it was all
big.
All, balance. And then you had a guest speaker, the gentleman who was talking about entrepreneurship and the technology that he had.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of the who had clothing shops and herbal shops.
Yeah.
Brother Ubeda.
Yeah.
I love his energy always, you know.
That's right.
He was a plethora of energy and wealth of knowledge. So I really enjoyed yesterday, and I most definitely enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Phil. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you, sis. Yeah. I appreciate you, too.
Yeah. What I want to say, just to sum it all up, is that, you know, all of the work that has been done behind the walls is translated into what I saw yesterday. And that has everything to do with every effort that has been done by many individuals, especially Counselor Wade, who is not Counselor Wade anymore, but at the time,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
who I'm speaking about to
mm-hmm.
adult, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's people behind the walls that had our back, had our front, had our
mm-hmm.
side. Like,
mm-hmm.
we really did some things that could not have been done without individuals such as yourself
mm-hmm.
to contribute to what it is that we strive in to accomplish. And so now we're here. And
mm-hmm.
and I want to
mm-hmm.
say, you know, that everything that you've been talking about doing, Sister Zoe, the Hood University, you said that, you plugged it, I heard it. You know, that's real, that's the reality. I'm all for it, whatever I can do on my end to organize and assist with that, whatever it is that you need, we need that. We had to get that done pronto. And so we're there. We are forming the first fraternity / sorority of formerly incarcerated persons by the name of CORE, and
nice.
This community organizations restoring equality, and then we're going to start our own investment club, which is called TRI, which is based on the precepts of three, which is self, family, and community. And so these things right here are tangible solutions. Brother Ubeda spoke about the classes that he offered in order to teach brothers how to start their own businesses, their own company. Like, this is what we're here to do. And so
mm-hmm.
we will not be stopped by any means intelligent. We're going to accomplish our goal. And that's what I have to say about that. So with all the work that you've done, Sister Zoe, Brother Infinite, Malai, Sister Krista, and all the other individuals and organizations out there, I want to give a special shout out to every last one of y'all, because you are the reason why we're here now, and I'm so appreciative of it. You know, I'm going to give my prayer, sacrifice, life, and death for the cause of freedom, justice, and equality
mm-hmm.
in the name of Allah.
Right.
So I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at your disposal. Right? So, thank you.
Before we go, I just want to say real quick, Brother Paul Taylor, we most definitely got to keep him lifted. So he, you know, is going through. Still showed up and showed out yesterday.
Yeah.
He left us with some nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
So, Paul Taylor as well.
Yeah, indeed.
Yes.
That's a wonderful way to round it all up, because I definitely want everybody to. And I'm grateful that, you know, Infinite, you spoke about this mental health thing going on in the prison system. It's something
yes,
that
sir.
We really have to see to. And inshallah, I'm praying that on the 18th of this month, which will be Tuesday night, that maybe we can have some impact on that with some of the questions I'm going to be presenting as the moderator with the event for the NAACP with the Commonwealth Attorney, Ramin Fadahi and Congressman Bobby Scott. So
mm-hmm.
there will be a really heated question there to see if we can, what kind of response we can get. But, you know, it all, as we know, brothers and sisters, it all starts with planting that seed and cultivating that seed. And then, you know, we can see the fruits of our labor. So, inshallah, you know, as long as we continue to strive in that manner with these type of events coming up and supporting each other. One of the things I want to keep stressing, you know, I was grateful to my brother, Sakeem, who spoke with a heavy heart, you know, and, you know, since the day that I found out that this brother who lost his sons, who were like family to me, because when you love a man in behind that wall, anything attached to him, mm-hmm. anything that he loves, you love.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
He's, as Krista said, to reiterate on what Krista said, like his words resonated through me because I knew I know his pain. You know, I know his pain. You know, we really have to do more to impact these issues of mental health as well. And this
mm-hmm.
is really, really serious in the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it has been a great success. I'm so grateful. Sister Zoe, listen to me. I didn't mean to act like a groupie or nothing when I saw you. You were signing my book, but sister, you just don't know how really grateful I am, like, to be able to see you in the dunya, in free society, and then show you that here I am, an author. You know, here I am, a man who listened to you, and you don't know how inspiring you were to me when you came in.
As you all are to me. And listen, I'm a groupie too. As you all are to me, I'm grateful to all of y'all. Listen, I'm inspired by y'all as well, and I love y'all seriously.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we love you.
Yeah, brother Infant, you know I love you, brother. You are fire and you are light. Man, thank you so much for all that you continue to support us in. And always being
thank
there
you,
for
brother.
Us. Got me a little emotional right now because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we really know that we have to buckle down. And we have such great leadership around us. We all, there's so much great leadership around us. And I'm so impressed,
mm-hmm.
so comforted. You know, I'm comforted
mm-hmm.
when I see the people mm-hmm. that I saw yesterday. I would like to, at this moment, I want to quote something that I wrote. And we want to try to reflect on these words. And as I use the term man, I'm not just referring, I'm referring to mankind. I'm referring to
mm-hmm.
men and women in general. But the quote says, a man's travel should be reflective in his repentance of the renewal of his light through his character.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all need to repeat that? A man's travel should be reflected in his repentance of the renewal of his light through his character. We all have to grow, and we all have to,
mm-hmm.
you know, really continue to work and strive towards. We cultivating ourselves, we educating ourselves so that we can be a tool of relief to one another and to those nearest and dearest to us, and leave a legacy that will change the not only the narrative of life for Black people, but people in general. And I think that we can do that. And I thank you all for coming on Point of Impact. Please continue to support us. Anything that we can do to support Sister, what did you call it?
Hood University.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Listen, mm-hmm. Put me down. I'm down for that. How can
all
I?
Right,
how can
let's
I start?
Get it.
When can I get an institution out here in Norfolk area? Let me know.
Let's
you know
get
saying?
It. Let's do it.
You know,
community
and so
action is out here too now.
Listen, I'm ready, and you know Virginia State is waiting on y'all too. So you know.
We coming.
Don't play with it. I would love to do a podcast show there.
I'm talking about y'all coming to school. That's what I'm talking about. That too, y'all come
about?
And do a panel.
I know what you're talking about. I'm definitely going to get y'all out though soon.
Yeah, that's the second part, definitely soon. Absolutely.
Okay.
Cool. It's a love.
That'll work.
We got to get out of here. And as always, thank you, Jay Sean, for the wonderful work that you've done. I know we probably had some callers in today, but the content was just too deep. I'm sorry. And the guests, of course, were just too enlightening, and we just couldn't take no calls in. But we thank you all for supporting us tonight. And remember, man, right now, if you can at this moment, just stop what you're doing and do something that will benefit you in this life as well as the hereafter, and something that will benefit mm-hmm. your family, and something that will benefit your community, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So everyone, please be safe. Be careful. I love you all. May Allah guide you and me upon the straight path, and may He increase our hearts in all that will please Him as we all strive towards a better life and a better way for all those members. Good night, everyone. Mm-hmm. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you all. Good night.
Night, night. Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you. Show the whole world that I love you. When I say I love you, I really do love you. Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you. Show the whole world that I love you. When I say I love you, I really do love you.
I do. I love you. I do. I love you. I love you. I love you. I do. I love you, I do, I love you, I do, I love you, I love you, I love you, I do, I love you, I do, I love you, I do, I love you, I love you, I love you, I do, I love you, I do, I love you, I do, I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. Whoa, I think I'm in love again. And here we go again. Don't wanna have another heartbreak, but every time that I see him, we thought she'd take my breath away. Get a grip, and thought I would a friendship. Cause sailing with a Moby Dick, can sink a ship. Thinking with your head, but you get a shot of one. So I remember all the past lessons that you learned from. A 90-day rule, but we rushed it too. In 2 months, we finna text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we lay and stay stable when nature throws us a curve, but love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, you're a lover, homie, lover, friend, yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running. To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works. When there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you, I wanna see you. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.